you're interested in time, 3 minutes, and then we'll be back on again for the 4D experience. And if you're listening to our podcast, well, just count 180 seconds. In terms of the event itself, Mike, it's the same, but with wonderful differences added on, if that's not too much of an oxymoron. What you've got here is obviously a fantastic event, as you say, lifestyle, but as you actually adjust these kind of things, putting the structure together, this is one of the ways where, consistently, I have to say, it just improves year on year. I mean, this is my first boat show for about 2 or 3 years, and already I can see significant improvements on the 4 or 5 shows I attended prior to that.
Well, what you find is that every exhibition, core to it is the product, and it's giving the exhibitor the maximum opportunity to wring as much revenue out of that product as possible in the coarsest possible terms. So the core product doesn't really change year after year. The floor plan will change to make it more interesting. This year we put in some huge sweeping aisles and some dog legs to give more interest and variation. What changes year on year is the manufacturing of the boat and the craft, the technology that goes into the boat and craft, and also those extras as well. What extras are you looking for? And personalisation, as we know via emails and everything like that, the more personalised the product can be, the more you can generate revenue from it, and the more special the person feels as they're parting with their cash as well. And this is what it's all about in this day and age. And this is what you find at the boat show. We're just standing underneath the bows of a Sunseeker here, a huge thing looming over us. Again, the essence is it hasn't changed much over the years. You know, the shape of a boat's a boat. But the manufacturing of that boat, what goes into that boat, the craftsmanship, the love, the passion, and then the what you want out of that boat, this is where the market is going in all places, and this is exactly where we are in boat shows as well.
I'm just smiling because I'm seeing a couple of acoustic guitarists are actually wandering through the whole thing. Entertainment is here in spades. We mentioned obviously Nicole Scherzinger, former Pussycat Doll, of course, and indeed erstwhile Judge with various Simon Cowell productions. Other sort of celebrities that are coming through that usually drop in, presumably some of them just sort of turn up and you don't know they're even going to be here.
Many do that, but we do know that we have Barry McGuigan turning in later on with our title sponsor CWMFX. They're bringing him along. And today we have Simon Cowell and...
He just can't keep away from Nicole, can he? Sorry, Simon.
And Cheryl coming in as well.
Good
well,
heavens.
Well, I say it's them, but there's a chance they could be damn good lookalikes.
Ooh, well.
But in their own spheres, celebrities. We do have Penny Tranter coming in. She's a weather person. Ben Ainsley. So Ben Ainsley will be coming in later in the week. But time and time again, I'm walking around the show floor and, oh, look, there's another celebrity and there's... And simply, this is what they enjoy. It's a day out for them, so they're not going to publicise they're coming. They just want a nice, quiet day out, a couple of Guinnesses in the Guinness bar, and go and buy a few bits and bobs.
Precisely. You don't need to do social media all the time. Ed, thoughts so far?
I'm going to go onto that one there. No, you can't see this if you're listening to me talking about it, but there is a seriously large boat up there with sort of several layers, a bit like a cake, in fact. But... as you know, the craftsmanship, even from this distance, it'd be almost a shame to put this boat that we're looking at in the sea to muck it up.
Just really buy two, then obviously one to keep sort of off, yeah. off the thing, and one for the actual boat.
Exactly. But absolutely remarkable. I mean, art in front of us today. It's okay, it's a shop in a sense, isn't it? But this is art as well.
Great stuff. Mike, I think the countdown's beginning to approach now as we look through this. Just talk us through once again what people can expect in this London Boat Show 4D experience. You say obviously life on the ocean waves, we're getting everything presumably here.
Well, indeed, there are seven settings. There's the tropics through to the Antarctic, or the Arctic, I can't remember right now.
Spot a polar bear, presumably.
Indeed, yes. Through the middle of this is a representation of our creative, of the rolling thunder and clouds and lightning running through the middle. So there'll be thunder and lightning, there's the aurora borealis, there's wind machines in there, so you'll feel wind as you are ostensibly going through the water. As we get to the tropics, the environment will warm up and then cooler get down as you go to the Antarctic. And this is just an excitement, full HD, full 7.1 technological wonder. First time we've done it, actually, and as far as we're aware, the first time it's been done in the UK at all. So it's a bit of an experiment for us. But the anticipation, and we're standing here and the queue is gently building as we're waiting to go in already. It takes about 3 minutes to get through. About 30 people can go at a time, so there's a lot of people going through. In fact, if you were going to kind of a Disneyland or a Thorpe Park experience, this is the sort of thing that you would have there. we're wanting to take boat shows into a new league with new high-tech innovations and technologies, and this is one of the things we're trying to do.
Now, do we need any motion sickness pills around here, or is it all perfectly safe?
Well, I have heard one of our team went in, as it's been tested yesterday, and came out feeling a bit seasick.
Okay, well, we should be okay. I think the semicircular canals and everything else are sort of working through on that sort of basis. We'll stay with you as we experience the 4D thing and then sort of say happy trails. But whilst we're still waiting here, a little talk ahead to Southampton, of course, because that's something we haven't as yet got down to. We've already spoken about getting up to the Isle of Arran and down to Southampton and other sort of ways. Southampton, presumably already planning for it's a September event, really.
Southampton, yes, we had a meeting about Southampton in November, very much over a year out, and plans are well in advance for the Southampton Boat Show. Of course, it's down on the south coast, and the Jewel in the Crown there is a huge 300 berth marina, so boats in their natural habitat, generally in the sunshine.
Sounds absolutely splendid. And Mike, clearly the company is benefiting from your expertise, as we said, so that's a good way of actually putting in for a raise, etc. We first got into the yachting basis through a wonderful soul called Peter Stewart Hunt. Do you still see Peter these days? Has she sort of stepped away?
Yes, I do. I think she follows me on Twitter and vice versa.
Excellent.
Yes, in contact via the Twitter sphere a lot. Yes, lovely lady.
Exactly, I know. We'll hopefully sort of hook up with Peter. I'm not sure whether she's actually here today, but always great from that point of view. Well, it looks as though the line has sort of been stepped away. The gentlemen are sorted through. Are we about ready to go with this, Mike?
It looks like it, yes. The anticipation is growing. Security looking very serious.
They are,
which is always,
yes.
Always a good thing to do. And I see the operator of the 4D experience is just lurking to the side there. So hopefully in a moment we'll get our first whiff of the sea, so to speak.
Are you ready, Ed?
Do please note it says high-heeled shoes are not to be worn.
Very true.
Check everybody here.
Yes.
We're okay.
Yes. Should we take our slingbacks off? Get those Jimmy Choos off, will you, please?
Very important. I remind you, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location in association with, of course, with the Midweek Drive from Siren FM and Pharmanor Nutritional Supplements here at the 2015. Exactly.
Where did 2014 go?
I want to know.
Just like that.
Where did the first 14 years of the 21st century go, Mike? It's astounding.
Yeah, I know. It's. I don't get any younger for this, but I get equally more excited every year. It's amazing, actually, having done this for so long. I still get excited about how the boats get lifted in. And here we are, we're walking into the 4D experience now. So we're going up a decked ramp, as you might do on a boat, and in through a black drape, 4D experience above us. Getting very dark now as people are filing through into a much smaller space than we've been in. Rounding a corner.
Extraordinary system. In fact, I think the last time we actually had an internal event, we were actually at the Hallow Scream experience at the York Maze, which was quite interesting, if not sort of sensory deprived in certain ways. But yes, we're heading through this. Trade your way forward with CWMFX.
If we stand, we're just standing on a grating here, and below us you can see lighting rig, smoke rig, and also a fan as well. So on this point here, we're going to get the full 10 yards, the full 9 yards, the full 11 yards even, if we're talking superlatives. And here we are. We're about to go off. Crack on.
And that's where we leave the 4D experience that Ed Wellman and myself had the pleasure of enjoying together with Mike Enser, of course, the head of marketing for London Boat Show. Still on, of course, at the London Excel Centre, and probably the most perfect event you could wish to go for, if only they could actually book your good self, William Sitwell, to actually be a celebrity star guest as well. I don't know, Nicole Scherzinger was there. I figured they would have had you booked in. Possibly you had other things to do.
Yeah, well, me and Nicole, we can't appear in the same room.
Lewis will get jealous, I know. We don't want to go there. We're not doing that sort of personality thing. But absolutely, if you get the chance over the next few days, it still runs this weekend. It's a really outstanding event. So thumbs up and hats off to the team at the London Boat Show. So good news from that point of view, but tragically, not such good news for a really lovely place in Knightsbridge, which has closed its doors in the restaurant business.
Well, you know, every year we always look forward to all of the new openings in restaurants in London, particularly because that's where I'm sort of focused, but Lincoln too and around the country. Mm-hmm. And there's always a lot of chat and hype about new restaurants and lots of excitement. But of course, the flip side of the openings are the closures. And unfortunately, even the best places sometimes succumb to all sorts of economic and different pressures. And, and you know, if I'm ever asked, you know, what's the top five restaurants in the country, in the world, there's always Racine in the top five.
Yep.
It's a French restaurant in Knightsbridge. It's been there for, gosh, 15 maybe plus years, maybe 15, 20 years. The chef is Henry Harris, and he's a man who I think can cook better French food than a lot of Frenchmen, and I'm not the only critic that says such outrageous things. Yet, Racine, perfect in every shape and form, perfect in terms of its menu, perfect in terms of its service, its decor, its atmosphere, and you would have thought in Knightsbridge its location. But he's shut it, he's closed, and I think a lot of people in the restaurant world are in shock this week, having heard the news. But one of the things I think is that I think he puts it down to is all the non-doms who are buying up swathes of property in London, and particularly Knightsbridge, because it's a good place to park your money. Property is a safe bet. But if you're living in those houses around there, they're empty most of the year because you're in your other residence and you're not eating at Racine. So whatever Henry could do, however good his fish soup was, however good his rabbit was, however good his vanilla ice cream with Valrhona hot chocolate was, however good his service was, however good the welcome was, it wasn't good enough, and so he shut.
Well, we can only use the cliche, and I'm sure you've actually heard the French equivalent of as one restaurant closes, as another one will open. You know, there will be positivity. And besides, actually, we both know, William, that cream will rise to the top. So, you know, fingers crossed that things will map out. And who knows, maybe London has not seen the end of the Racine brand and it may reemerge. Well, then again, it may not.
I think it will. I mean, I think we're going to see the opening of a thing called Racine Kitchen. He'll keep his branding going. But it just really turns one's mind to the difficulties of running restaurants. And a lot of us who are, you know, we're lucky enough to eat out, and those of us who save up and go out, we don't always appreciate that it's not just about putting a plate of food in front of a customer. In fact, that's often the last thing that has to be considered. You know, you've got to run a business, you've got to have a sort of philosophy in terms of combining atmosphere, decor, you've got to be able to manage staff, you've got to be a good manager, you've got to be able to manage your landlords, you've got to be able to juggle all of those financial things from council rate to the trunk, the complicated tipping system. You've got to be able to harness and nurture your suppliers. You've got to be able to be economic with the food so that you're not over catering, so there's loads of leftovers. I think there's very few businesses actually that require quite such amount of sort of dexterity from one individual. Because although at the heart of it, most chefs have a passion for food, as we know well, that's not enough in a difficult world.
I was going to ask the question, what is it that makes people go into this whole field? I suppose it's the passion. And if you're driven by the passion, you have the vocation. Is it too much of a stretch to actually say, William, that if you go into the world of becoming a chef, you do have a vocation for it?
I think in a way you've got to have a vocation, because I think that if you go into the restaurant business just to make money, and there are people who are in that, and there are people who run chains and who sort of get it. But I think if you're single-minded people who really want to just turn out a good plate of food as opposed to churn out, I think you've got to have a bit of a vocationary sort of attitude towards it. Otherwise, if you're only about the money and you're not about the passion, then you're never going to seriously connect with people, because you know that kind of sensory experience. And but there are very few people really can produce the magic of restaurants. The recipe for a perfect restaurant is pretty elusive, and even when you get it right, as Racine did, it's still not enough.
Probably one of the most sombre phone links we've actually had for quite some time. But, you know, nevertheless, it can never be said that we don't actually address some of these key points and look at the texture of life. So what was happening on Soho Radio this week then with your good self, William?
Oh, well, I had Grace Dent, fantastic restaurant critic, writes a bit for the Evening Standard and various other newspapers.
No relation to Arthur, presumably.
No relation, no, I don't think so. She's on the lookout for a very wealthy husband.
Oh.
But anyway, then I had the brilliant Russell Norman, manager of Caprice Holdings and Scott's and so on, some smart restaurants in London. He now has this burgeoning chain of restaurants called Polpo, which are across London, and Spontino and Mishkin and so on. Amazing restaurateur, very clever guy, used to teach theatre and English and then ended up in the restaurant world. And then we had a man called Simon Mullins talking about his predictions of for wine this year. He's the co-founder of Saltyard, and they have about four or five restaurants. And he was talking about the wines of the Balearics, so, you know, wines from Ibiza that we should be looking out for, with a bit of minerally volcanic. Mount Etna as well. Yeah, a bit of volcanic ash in the grape juice. Very nice, apparently. And I used to have nightmares of falling into one of the craters in Mount Etna. I've kind of got over it now.
Well, I would hope so. Therapy can work wonders. A show that sounds as packed and as wonderful as a Waitrose kitchen. Truly amazing. there we are. So life continues its own merry way. I believe that next week we'll have some of our midweek drivettes returning. We were hoping we'd get one today, but she was poorly over the evening sort of time slot. Katie Grimmison is still going from strength to strength, and of course Natalie Tuck is based in London. It's high time, and one thing we couldn't fit in tragically when we were down at the London Boat Show was a connection with your good self, but I do feel we should set 2015 as a time where we can visit your good self in situ, or indeed maybe at Soho Radio and actually do a little piece there behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's time you recorded a new IDEX for me. Come on, you know, need to put your back into
you're absolutely right, William. It's definitely on our sort of to-do list, which will be sorted through. But for the moment, I won't use your namesake, William Coles, the suggestion that we should actually revamp the last two questions and actually say, have you ever been chased by a wild animal? As number one, and question two, have you ever taken sour milk, you know, as the second one. We'll stick with the traditionals because you can't beat them. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, and I'm intrigued. I'd much rather ask the previous question. Maybe next time. Wild animals. I mean, I've been chased by a wasp, I may have disturbed a wild pig once, but didn't actually chase him.
Well, who knows, maybe William Coles, our award-winning journalist, has actually sort of hit on something here, and maybe we should shift them. Interesting. William, as ever, take care. We'll see you in 168 hours from now.
Thank you.
Atmospheric, magically evocative music of Ennio Morricone with Ki Mai. Siren 107.3 FM, 19 minutes, nearly coming up to 18 minutes to 10 a.m. here on Thursday, January the 15th. And as ever, we're delighted to actually celebrate the opening of new venues, new events, and all sorts of other areas, particularly when it's our good friend from Manila PR, the wonderful Tony McDonough, who actually says, any chance of actually getting a little mention and name check, and more than that, for the Witham in Barnard Castle, County Durham, a brand new venue in the northeast, who'll be having an official opening week in February, featuring Warhorse's Bob Fox, and indeed the only northeast appearance from McGoldrick, McCusker and Doyle on February 24th. Well, of course we can, Tony, and even more, we're delighted to be able to welcome the Managing Director of the Witham. That would be the fabulous Katie Taylor. Katie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well indeed, even on this blustery, cold morning.
Even in Durham, you've still got that slight sort of challenge there. Unbelievable. Anyway, thewitham.org.uk, a fantastic new venue. This is all very exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting. We've been open just over a year, but we're stepping up to the mark with a fantastic new spring programme.
I'm looking at the event itself. In fact, we'll be speaking to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre's very own Julie Ellaby in the near future. But we've got the Witham, Culture, Community and Commerce. So it's the three C's writ large there.
Indeed, and we do a bit of both. So we have culture, we have events on usually 2 to 3 times a week, everything from we have the Northern Symphonia Chamber Orchestra to the music that you've already mentioned and folk music and live acoustic music regularly. We also have community groups who use the building for different events, everything from yoga to tai chi to tea dance. And then we also have rooms that are available for hire for businesses.
So looking at the whole sequence that we've got here, I mean, people often say it's amazing how the arts survive despite periods of austerity, when actually it's during periods of austerity we need to have them and hold them even more dear to ourselves because it's essentially part of the human experience. When you were kind of given the brief of working with the Witham, just talk us through your own background in terms of how you you became MD of the project in your own case.
MD is giving me somewhat of a promotion. I am, and this is a long job title, Operations and Programming Manager here. So I am in charge of day-to-day operations of the building, which is quite big, and also programming in all of our cultural events. My background is that I've been involved with the Witham through some of the reopening and refurbishment of the building. It's a historic building that we've had refurbished. And I started out on the project recruiting our volunteers, and we have about 60 active volunteers without whom we couldn't open the doors. And then gradually I've worked my way through and got experience, and now I'm in this role.
Which proves that obviously cream will rise to the top, as we've frequently said.
And
as we sort of noted, obviously we've got those fabulous things happening in February, but even this Saturday, the 17th of January, you've got the wonderful Bruno Caproni and Julian Evans bringing us a whole range of operatic arias. So good range of material there.
Yes, we have indeed. So they're bringing all our favourite arias from Rossini to Rodgers and Hammerstein, so a bit of everything for everybody. We do have a beautiful piano, so it's just going to be a lovely, uplifting evening at this time of year when the weather's not so good. Come and lift your spirits.
And I must admit, I'm amazed to find that the tickets are mere £8, or £7 concessions, or £20 for a family ticket, available presumably online and on the door, perhaps.
Yes, in the building, we're open 10 till 4 every day, on the door for an hour before the performance, and also online.
Now, again, looking at the variety, Handa Surprise, following in the footsteps of Handa, coming up on Friday the 30th of January.
Yes, so that's children's theatre, and that's a beautiful piece with little monkey puppets and live action and live African music, and it's going to be a really thrilling piece of theatre. Aimed at preschoolers, which is why it's on a Friday morning. So it's aimed at 2 to 5 year olds, and it gives them a real opportunity to see their first theatre close up.
And it's never too soon to actually have an experience of the excitement that is live theatre. Onwards to Kitty Bridges' Pocketbook of Tunes, appearing the day after, actually on Saturday the 31st of January.
Yes, that is going to be a really foot-tapping, entertaining piece. It's based on a little pocketbook of tunes, of folk tunes and poems that was found that belonged to Kitty Bridges. And what they've done is created a piece. They've made a backstory for Kitty Bridges, who's a Yorkshire lass who goes out to discover the world. So it's full of gin-soaked streets and road travels and Georgian gents, and maybe not so gentlemanly as well, a few cads and a few bounders, but lots of song, lots of dance, really, again, lifting your spirits, but in a different way, all about laughter and entertainment.
And it's important you mention that Georgian as opposed to Geordie gents, because that would be an entire thing. As we said in the first part of the programme, I was, unfortunate. I caught 20 minutes of Geordie Shore earlier this week. I don't think I can take much more. I'd have a lie down, really. It's too much, really. But still, mind you, having said that, getting the cast of Geordie Shore at the Witham will be an interesting one to actually work through.
It would indeed. It's a
possibility. We go back to a reminder, of course, of the events in February that's actually working through from that point of view. This whole sort of notion of the official opening week, because obviously, as we've just said, there are events that are taking place now that are working through this, and I'm sure that possibly our colleagues at even Radio Teesdale, if they've got any sense, will be covering them with a vengeance. If they're not, well, we'll do it for them. But in terms of that, you've got this grand opening package that obviously we were interested in following in February with the aforementioned Warhorses Bob Fox, McGoldrick, McCusker and Doyle.
Yes, we have indeed. So it's launching our cultural programme for the first time. Very exciting. We will have our first printed brochure for a season, the first time the Witham's ever been able to do that, so that's wonderful. So it's really launching us to be this regional venue. It takes quite a long time in the northeast to get to any venues to see performances of this standard, so why not travel out to beautiful Barnet Castle, where the parking's free in the evening, it's very pleasant, we'll give you a warm welcome, and the venue is beautiful. And it's just giving people that experience. Instead of travelling to the city, why not travel out to us in the countryside and come and see some of these amazing performances? So Bob Fox is actually, he's been the songman for Warhorse for some time, actually touring internationally and just coming back from South Africa. And we're one of his first shows when he comes back to this country. And he's doing a whole evening of the Warhorse Songman. So it's talking about his experience as being the songman and his touring experience performing the tracks from Warhorse and some of his own material.
And you can also go to bobfoxmusic.com for further information. And then, of course, three members of the BBC acclaimed Transatlantic Sessions, that would be Michael McGoldrick, John McCusker and John Doyle, will actually be performing as part of a unique European tour.
Yes, this is really exciting. And if you want a chance to see these guys perform together, this does not happen very often. They've recorded with Bob Dylan. They tour with Mark Knopfler. They are serious musicians who are going to bring you some amazing music. And there aren't very many places in the Northeast that you can come and see them. So this is your chance to come to the Witham and see these guys, and it's going to be a long time before they do this again.
Not just the North, of course, I would have said the country. I mean, John McCusker, interestingly enough, performed with all the artists who featured in the early part of the production, Ocean Colour Scene, but it's all there. And a whole heap of other goodies, including Paolo Nutini, Jules Holland, Steve Earle. These are just some of the people who worked with John McCusker, whom you can see together with Michael McGoldrick and John Doyle, which is... Are tickets available for this 24th of February event?
Yes, they are. So they're all available online through our ticket booking system at www.thewitham.org.uk.
UK, sorry. That's it.
I don't know why I stumbled over that bit. I know where I live.
Literally, you go to thewitham.org.uk and the magic will manifest. Generally wonderful from that point of view. You've sold it to me. I mean, Katie's tremendous stuff here. In fact, you know, we were talking about, obviously, our location report that we did recently with the London Boat Show. I think we should definitely make a location report and visit to Barnard Castle and make our way from Lincoln up to that. So would you be up for that? Just sort of joining and doing some pieces?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. Come and have a look around. Come and have a wonderful cup of coffee with us. We have a lovely cafe bar. All of our products are sourced locally. And come and have a look at the architecture. Listen to the music.
It's just a win-win situation. As you say, County Durham, the northeast of England, a generally wonderful thing. We spreading the word with our northeastern colleagues as well. We spoke to Ian Lennox. It's always exciting when new venues are opening, and great stuff from that point of view. And hats off to you, yourself, Katie. And obviously the rest of the team, who I'm sure will be working very hard, but you know, they're getting the rewards for actually putting in a lot of hard work in terms of getting this project up and running, really.
Yes, it's really exciting. We never have a dull day in the office.
There you go. Fantastic. So, two final things as you've wrapped up a fantastic media piece for the witham.org.uk and the Witham as an event, WITHAM. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on your debut on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Katie Taylor?
I have indeed. I've really enjoyed it.
So can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future?
I think so. We've got lots of interesting things coming up that we can talk about.
Hey. We'll be right back. Okasek, Emotion in Motion on Siren 107.3 FM. Quick, time for a note from the universe.
I know this may come as somewhat of a shock, but of your innumerable and extraordinary gifts, one day you'll consider your present-day challenges as the greatest of them all. Trust me. Now, wasn't I good to you, the universe?
Excellent. Well, that's it. Thanks to your good self, dear listener, for tuning in for however many bits of the programme you managed to get. Natalie Tuck, of course, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Mike Enser, Ed Wellman, the London Boat Show team, William Sitwell and Katie Taylor, all of whom managed to actually make the last 2 hours, I would hope, quite bearable. Coming up, we'll be having much more wonderful stuff. We've got Lita Rosen and the Motor City Resonation Show at 12. Great music up until then as well. Softly Whispering I Love You. Congregation is taking us out. That's it. Happy trails. Have a splendid Thursday. It's the Congregation.